side of it.
You should play that song all over the world. Who did that song?
Are we playing in Africa?
Who did that song all over the world? Was that Neil Sedaka? Anyway.
I don't know.
I digress.
I wasn't allowed to listen to the radio when I was a kid.
If you have a question or comment, you can call into 605-4567, 530-605-4567.
Mm-hmm.
And we also podcast, archive, we do it all. So you can go back and listen to this program about 10 minutes after it's over. You can listen to it. In fact, you can go back to the very beginning of the time that we started this program and listen to it. Now, today is going to be an interesting day. We're going to stay over, Wynn and I, with Sovereign Minds, which I know will thrill you all.
How come?
Well, because we've got some important stuff to talk about.
Like what?
Well, first of all, this recall. We need to really get this recall going. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about all this business with the constitutional sheriffs, things like that. But before we do any of that, I'm going to bring on a young lady. Her name is Courtney Allen. And Courtney I'm going to let you tell her about tell her. It's the first day of my new tongue. I'm sorry. Just got this thing yesterday. It's at a yard sale for a quarter. Anyway, we're going to have Courtney on. We're going to be talking about what they're doing in Yuba and Sutter. And then we'll have a young lady named Jenna Duckhorn. She'll be on in a few minutes here. She'll be talking about what they're doing to open their county up in Butte County. So the red, white, and blueprint has really gone ballistic. It's really gone universal. And now we have other counties just after watching the trailer. And I know this is thrilling, Joe Cominti, Mary Rickard, and Leonard Modi. But just after the trailer, we have five counties in play that are tired of having the bureaucrats that they have elected spending their money and treating us like serfs. Anyway, with that, Courtney Allen, how are you, my dear?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing good. How are you all?
Doing great.
Doing well, thank you.
You want to tell people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am from the Yuba Sutter area. I'm originally from Oregon. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was actually going out to become a full-time missionary and move abroad to Vietnam and go do missions. And when COVID happened and, you know, the whole world shut down, it changed everything everybody was doing, right? And my whole program, all the borders shut. And, you know, at that point, it's kind of like, okay, well, what do I do now? And I actually moved out to be a part of the Church of Glad Tidings in Yuba City, which is a phenomenal church. You know, they stayed open throughout the entire quarantine, throughout all the shutdowns. They deemed themselves as essential. And I just really decided to go be a part of that church and continue doing ministry work. And through that relationship, we've really just seen that, you know, the new mission field, it's the United States. And, you know, a lot of times missionaries, they've really seen that the U.S. is fine. You know, we have Christianity here. We don't have regulation on it. People are free to, you know, worship Christ. It's these other communist countries that we have to worry about. And, you know, we've really seen that flip in the last year that, you know, you've seen Sean Foyt's movements and just all of the things happening here in the U.S. that missionaries are, they're deeming the U.S. as their new mission field and they're going after it so that we will always have, you know, the country that we've had, the country that can send out missionaries and really be a light for Christianity in the world. And so that's what got me started in this type of work and just kind of putting the hammer down and saying, you know what, we're not going to allow one person to tell us what our rights are. You know, in California here, Gavin Newsom tells us what we can and can't do. And, you know, he's not going to be the one to deem whether Christianity is essential or not, you know, whether we can hold public church services or not, or whether our kids can go to school or not, or just all of these extremely arbitrary lockdowns, you know. So that's kind of a little bit about what's gotten me to this point over the past year.
Okay, well, I know Dave Bryan, who's your pastor, and he just what a great guy he is. You got to love a pastor that has a loaded 22 built into his belt buckle. and the thing is that he's always been an advocate about standing up against tyranny, and it's our duty. It's our God-given obligation and duty to stand up against tyranny. And talking about that, I know that you were introduced to the Red, White, and Blueprint. We have been talking about that. You and I chat quite a bit about these things,
mm-hmm.
and you've come up with what you want to do in Yuba and Sutter, and excuse me, Yuba and Sutter County, and you've come up with an ordinance. We were talking about that, and you used some of the California Constitution. Good girl. And if you want to elaborate on what that is and what exactly is going to be taking place at the Board of Supervisors meeting down there, is this Yuba or Sutter you're going to go to Tuesday?
Tuesday is both, you know,
both.
Because
gotcha.
we kind of, because Yuba City and Marysville, they're separated by a river, but they're pretty much twin cities, twin counties. And so because of that, we have been going after both simultaneously. And we've done a lot of good work. You know, out of four local meetings, we've been able to open three. And
nice.
The fourth one, they have it on the agenda. The Yuba County is the last meeting yet to open to the public, and it's an agenda item this Tuesday at 9 a.m. But we're going after an ordinance that could possibly give our supervisors a little bit more confidence in the fact that they can stand up to the state and that they don't have to go along with, you know, unconstitutional mandates or, you know, even laws set by the legislature, which are unconstitutional here in our local area. And so I did write an ordinance that talks a lot about the emergency orders and actually having our local county supervisors vote to approve, you know, any state of emergency and vote to extend any state of emergency after a period of 3 days. So very, very short period of time. This is, you know, this is what states of emergency are for. They're for a very necessary emergency. Like I think it was about a year and a half ago, the dam was going to break here locally.
Right.
And,
right.
And that was a huge state of emergency.
That's
that
the Orville
they enacted
dam.
Over the area. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
And they actually voted to extend that. You know, that was something that they were really good on, voting to extend every 30 days. I think it was the city of Live Oak. And I just think it's really odd that the mindset around this is completely different. And you know, there is a lot of money tied into this. There's a lot of different funds that I think they feel like their arms are tied behind their back.
Right. I wanted to. We're going to have to go off to a break. But before,
yeah.
What I want to do is keep you over after the break because I want to talk very quickly about your ordinance. I've got it here in front of me. And, you know, folks, she's doing an ordinance. An ordinance is law. A resolution is basically toothless. I mean, a resolution sounds good, looks good, smells good, but you know, it's sort of like the person who sounds good, looks good, and smells good, but he's broke. And that's sort of what a resolution is. But she's talking about an ordinance, and I know we had discussions on this, and that's where the teeth is. The teeth is in getting a law passed. So, Courtney, if you could stay with us, hon, that'd be great. We're going to go off to our first break. And when we come back, we will be back with Courtney Allen. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Rushing till life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. Don't know why. I have to drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not you, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we're all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
I like that song. I like that song. Courtney, are you in a hurry?
I'm not in a hurry.
Anyway, we're here with Courtney Allen talking about the Ubisutter County Home Rules Ordinance. I love it. It's actual real law being proposed. Now, you do have a board of supervisor, a supervisor, in Yuba County that's going to present this. Is that correct?
Sort of. We have a couple people who are on board with this, and we do have a local supervisor who he does. He wants to present this. We're still working because, as you know, obviously, if it gets presented and it gets shot down, it doesn't do us much good. So we're trying to play it strategically and really get these guys on board. But yeah, this is the piece of law that we're really trying to go forward with and really trying to get past there.
Now, on this home rules ordinance that you're putting in here, is this a duplicatable process to where you're using this also in Butte County? Because we do have Jenna on the other line, and let's put Jenna on too, if we can there, partner.
Can I hear each other?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I want to let you girls know that you both can probably hear Wynn and I. But sometimes with the phone system, when one is talking, you won't be able to hear the other one. So, Jenna, why don't you introduce yourself and Jenna Duckhorn and where you're from and what you got going, girl.
Okay, I'm Jenna and I'm from Chico. I'm a mom of four kids and I am an activist in the state of California. I want freedom, and it seems as though so many people across the state have lost sight of what that actually means. So when I try to present to them what I stand for, it kind of catches them off guard because they have negotiated their rights away. And it's really, really discouraging.
You know, you're in Chico, and we are going to be having an event on April the 17th in Glenn County, and it'll be in a gym. The Republican women are putting it on. We were down and spoke to them at their dinner last month, and they decided to have a freedom rally. So we'll be having a freedom rally there. I would love for you to come there. And it'll be good. And I'll get you the time in that. I think it's 4:00, but I'll get you all the information. So, make sure that, you get with Courtney and she can give you my email address and also, text me your number, and Courtney will give you my phone number, my cell phone number, and then go ahead and text me your number, and we'll get together, because I think that this is really something, that this duplicatable process we're having that's now into five counties, and the Red, White, and Blueprint has only shown a trailer. By the way, the first episode comes out Friday. Comes out Friday, the first episode.
Yeah, it's
really important.
Can you hear each other?
Yeah.
Okay, so what say you, Courtney? Over.
Sorry about that. I think I'm still getting used to this. No, I was just saying that's awesome, and I'm excited to see other people throughout the U.S. in states like California where, you know, we don't have the representation in the state to really make a big difference, to see, you know, this movement happening and to get inspired and to start doing the same thing in their local counties.
Now, Jenna, have you heard? Jenna, have you heard the or seen the red, white, and blue print trailer?
Yes, many times.
And we just did a new one that came out 2 days ago. It's a 3-minute long one, and it shows basically a little bit about episode one. And you should have found that on Facebook also. If not, I think Courtney can get it to you.
Okay.
So Jenna, I'm really interested in what you're doing there in Butte County. Really excited. It's really fun because there's so many, you know, Melissa Magana also has four kids. It seems like all these young moms that are up there and activists that have four kids are strong because they're, you know, really it's, there's so much stuff going on with the children, the schooling and the masking and all that. What say you about those issues?
Yeah, well, I pulled my kids out of school last year. I have two 16-year-olds, and they tested out of the public school system because it was just absolutely disturbing, the things that were going on there. And then I homeschool my two younger kids. I won't allow them to get this vaccine. I won't allow them to go to school with a mask on. And their future really lays in the balance here. And a lot of people just think that if they complain about it online or complain about it to their friends, something's going to change. And the reality is you have to get out there. You have to go hold these people accountable. You have to tell them what they're doing wrong and try to force them to change, because they're not going to if you don't say something.
I think we're going to all grow to love you, Jenna. I mean, this is great. I mean, you two, and that's the thing. I mean, to me, this is so exciting. You know, really taking the bull by the horns and standing up. How is your husband dealing with this, Jenna? What is he? What's his position?
Oh, he's busy working, and he's fine with it. I mean, I know he's proud of me because this is what we stand for. You know, we're a really traditional conservative family who, you know, we just want to raise our kids with good morals and values and live the American dream, I guess. But so many people out there are just trying to take it away from us.
Yeah, and they try to do it.
Somebody has to do something.
Yes, ma'am. And the thing we really have to be looking at is that we have all these, we have God-given rights. The Constitution doesn't give us rights. It just protects our rights. It tells the government what they can do. The Constitution is a restriction on what the government can and cannot do, both federally and state. So I think that with this ordinance, it'll be interesting to see what happens, Courtney, because we could always take this ordinance and duplicate it and use it everywhere. But I just can't tell you how much I'm really looking forward to meeting you, Jenna. Courtney, you guys are just really special, and you have strength, and you have courage, and you're willing to stand up. And that's what people need to do. And it's wonderful to see all these young people, you know, standing up and saying, hey, we've had enough. We want our liberty back. You're not going to do this to my kid. You're not going to do this to my rights. You're not going to do this to my country. And you're not going to do this to my God. And I think it's really neat to, especially people like Dave Bryan, if you get a chance, go to Glad Tidings, Google that, see one of Dave's church services. It'll move you. He's an amazing man. With that, I'd also like to get just maybe a minute or two from each one of you, and then we'll have to go off to our 9:30 break. So, Jenny, you want to go first?
Yeah, I just think it's really important that the people realize that you have to hold your elected officials accountable. It doesn't matter what letter comes after their name. If they're not doing their job, you have to hold them accountable, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. In fact, it's going to be very uncomfortable for you and the elected official. But quite frankly, they have gotten away without being held accountable for decades now. And so my generation has to come in and clean up behind these people who were just so lazy and were living the good life and felt like they didn't need to hold the people they hired to work for them accountable. And now this is what we're living in. So I encourage people to hold them accountable.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm looking really forward to meeting you. And feel free to call into the radio program anytime you want, ladies. Courtney, you've got a couple of minutes here, my dear. By the way, Jenna, please make sure you get your contact information to me, and God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Courtney, so what say you, my dear? What final thoughts do you have?
Yeah, and, you know, my thoughts really, really mirror and echo Jenna's, which is just the more work I do, the more I find out that this isn't a battle between Republicans and Democrats anymore. You know, we have a lot of county officials that tell us, well, wait, you know I'm a Republican, right? Like, why are you being so mean to me? And the truth is that time has come and gone. This is a battle between the U.S. Constitution and communism. and the reality of our liberty and the fight for our republic, it hangs in the battle right now. And if you're not doing something, you need to be. You know, you need to be going to school board meetings. You need to be getting involved and, you know, following the red, white, and blue print movement. You know, we down in Yuba Center, we started a website, freedomco.net. We put up a ton of resources and tools for people to use in political advocacy. And we're trying to, we're hosting networking meetings down there. And those networking meetings, the Freedom Coalition meetings we do at the church every first Friday at 7 p.m., which I would encourage anybody to come that really wants a good dose of, you know, education and also just networking, you know, how important it is to meet other people like you and to just really extend this fight out. And the thing that I've learned is that we will be successful as long as we hold the line and we don't quit. And, you know, these guys on the other side, they're realizing that they woke up a sleeping giant and they're really afraid. And all it takes is just us speaking out. So I just encourage everyone to be brave and just share their story and speak out. And that's what we've done. And the ripples have been incredible. So thanks for having me, Terry. And it's always a pleasure to get to talk to you. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Hey, Courtney, before you go, can you tell us again what that website was?
Yeah. So it's freedomco.net.
Freedom, like company, C-O.
Yep.
Okay, freedomco.net. All right, thank you.
Okay, Courtney, my dear. I will see you on, well, not next Friday, but the Friday after. And, you know, God bless you, and thanks again. You know, we love you, kid.
Love you guys, too. And I'm so happy to get to do this fight with y'all.
You bet. All right, my dear, have a great day. So with that, I think we will go off to our break. So I believe that time has really, 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 really come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
It's The Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest. I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Yeah.
We're back.
And the music stops. The music stops.
It was on for a little bit.
It was on for a little bit, yes. Gotta pay
attention.
We're
back.
We're back.
Anyway, we are going to talk a little bit about the red, white, and blueprint, and I'm going to pass this over to my partner. He's got some information for everybody.
Okay, if you want to check out the red, white, and blueprint, go to their website. And it's go.theredwhiteandblueprint.com.
Is the and an A-N-D?
It is the word. It is not the symbol.
It is the word. So it's go.
It is go dot the red, white, and blueprint.com.
Okay. So now that we have that, it's great. You folks can go on there. You've got to see that new trailer. It's three minutes.
Yep.
And it's amazing. Anyway, with that, we also have some things coming up on Tuesday, the 23rd. At 9 o'clock at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors chambers, we are going to be having a meeting. Yes, another meeting like we always have. Our Board of Supervisors will be behind plexiglass. $9,000 worth of plexiglass we paid for, so they can sit like 10 yards from us behind this glass, so they're protected. And then Leonard and Mary. Mary had the lights out last time. You couldn't even see her on the monitor. She had her lights out. So I asked her when I got up to speak, Mary, do you have a brownout up there? I mean, you can turn the lights on so we just don't have to see a silhouette. This isn't witness protection, you know. So, I mean, unbelievable stuff. I mean, these guys go and they meet with groups of 20 and 30 people. And I know one time Mary had somebody walking behind her back and forth a couple of times while she was up, but they can't meet with their constituents behind plexiglass.
Well, she's videoing from the office that she has in the admin building.
Unbelievable. I mean, do you guys...
So why go up on the third floor? Why not be on the second floor with everybody else in the chambers?
Unbelievable, you guys. I mean, are we going to... Is this acceptable? That's why we're recalling them. So anyway, we have that. That will be happening on the 23rd. Come in and let your voice be known and heard. Maybe heard, not so much known. Well, you have to be known, though, I guess, too.
I guess.
I think.
No, you can be heard. You don't have to be known.
You don't?
No.
Okay. Anyway, and then on April the 2nd, we will be having, or is that April the 1st, which is the first Friday in...
In April?
In April.
First Friday is the 2nd.
It is the 2nd.
Yep.
Good. I'm glad it wasn't April Fool's. Anyway, April the 2nd will be the Freedom Coalition meeting at the Glad Tidings Church on Eager Road. I think it's 1179 Eager Road, and that will be in Yuba City. That'll be at 7 o'clock, and we'll be talking about liberty and freedom. And then on April the 10th, we have our fundraiser that we'll be doing at the Veterans Hall, and that starts at what time? When is that? For 4?
The doors open like at 4:30, something like that.
Okay. We'll be having that. It'll be it's a dinner we have. I'm not sure if there's any tables that we have left for the fundraiser, but maybe we can get the information on that. Or during the next hour, Linda Kent will probably have information on that. Also, on the 17th of April in Glenn County, we're not sure where yet. There's a couple of different locations, but the Republican Women are going to be sponsoring a freedom rally. And we'll all be down there talking about what's going on with these counties. And I know that I'm not sure whether Glenn County is still meeting virtually or not, but I know that the Republican Women, when Sally and myself were down there a couple of weeks ago speaking at their dinner, they were beside themselves. They were not really happy at all with the Board of Supervisors. And there's a few of them you probably wouldn't want to make mad.
They have a backhoe and they have 40 acres.
Yeah, they do. And it's a backhoe, not a mule. So anyway, along with that, then we have on the 1st of May, I believe we'll be doing something eventful for the recall for the Board of Supervisors. That's going to be something else we've got going. And I think I covered just about everything. I'm sure that somebody will either, send us a text or write something in the chat room. If you have a question or comment, the phone number here is 605-4567, 605-4567.
Well, and also, too, we're going to be participating with the Cottonwood Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
That's Mother's Day weekend, May 1st and 2nd.
Oh.
And they're having a parade on the 1st. Downtown Cottonwood, so we'll be partaking in that, celebrating life with all the other Patriots around here.
Isn't that great? Don't you love Cottonwood? The free state of Cottonwood.
Yeah, the free state of Cottonwood. That's right.
Gotta love it. The capital is Woody's Barbershop. They never close.
They never close.
Yeah, they never close because they're not afraid.
Not afraid.
Now, this is going to bring us into something that we've been kind of wanting to talk about, and that is there's a lot of things going around about a sanctuary Second Amendment county resolution and different counties across the United States that are doing this. And California is unique. It's not that a resolution isn't a good thing, but it's very unique. So let's talk about the Second Amendment very briefly when it comes to the state of California. Okay, first of all, you need to get yourself a weapon. So you go down to the store, you go down to, well, I would go down to Jones Fort, but you go down to your local gun store, you pick out your long gun or your handgun, and you do a background check, and you take a little test, do all the stuff you've got to do. Then you sign all these papers, and you pay a little fee, then you leave, then you wait a month, or maybe less, but sometimes a month. Mm-hmm. And then you finally get your weapon, and you go to take it home, and you have ammo, so you got to make sure that the weapon is in a case that's locked in the back of your car, and in the front of your car you have to put your ammo you bought because you can't have them together. And by the way, that always kind of interested me. What happens if somebody tries to attack you? Just say, hey, hold on a second, wait a second, let me get my key. Where did I put that key? You get your key, you open up your little case there, and you pull your gun out. Just a second, let me load this, hang on, because I couldn't have it loaded in here, because I live in California, so I can't have it loaded, so hang on a minute, stay right there, stay that far away, so I've got a good clear shot. I mean, seriously, then...
That parallels what Dianne Feinstein said. You know, when the bad guy sees you don't have a gun, they'll put their gun down and walk away. That old cow, I can't believe she...
Did you call her an old cow?
Yeah, she's an old cow.
Oh, I could grow to love you. You've got...
Old cows go to slaughter.
Okay, so far we've got the gun, and now we have to figure out how we're going to carry it. Well, we know we can have it locked up in the back of our car, all that good stuff. Okay, so we know that. But that isn't really going to work. So what we want to do is we should be able to just put the gun on our hip and walk around because it is our right. It's our Second Amendment right. It is a God-given right. It's listed in the Second Amendment. It's
to bear arms.
Yeah, and also it's our property. So it's
to bear arms.
The Fourth Amendment. I mean, so we have all this stuff. It's like legal property.
To bear arms.
Yeah. We do, yeah. And I don't mean bear arms. I mean to bear arms. Okay, so then we say, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a class. Well, you pay for the class, and you get your little – CCW class. Now, remember, you're going to get a CCW from the sheriff because he's going to give you permission.
After an interview, if you pass the interview.
Permission. Well, this, before you even go get permission from the sheriff, what you have to do from the constitutional sheriff, who's going to give you permission.
If you pass the interview.
If you pass it. But you've got it, before you do that, you've got to take a class.
Yeah.
And pay money.
Yeah. You got to do all that stuff first.
Yeah, you got to do that first. Yep. Okay, so now you're out some money here on everything.
Yep.
You know, and you still can't really carry your weapon. Then you get a CCW, and let's say you do pass. Let's go to that next scenario and say you do. So you pass. So now you've got a CCW. Now, okay, let's say you wanted to open carry. Well, guess what? In California, if you're in a county of under 200,000 people, you can get a 26-150B2 open carry permit.
Only if?
Well, only if they printed the form. But the Attorney General doesn't print the form. No one prints the form. So there's no form. So consequently, there's never been a TB2.
So all you need to do is have a copy of the Constitution, and right on the side of it, you can put B-50 or 2B-52 on it. That is your permit.
You could. But according to Article 5 of the California Constitution, mm-hmm. Section 13, the Attorney General would have to approve that because guess what? The Attorney General, as of November 4th or 5th, one of the two. My memory escapes me now, and I forgot my California Constitution, but I'll try to remember all this stuff. I believe it's November the 5th, 1974. The Attorney General is the top law enforcement officer, and he shall, not maybe, not sort of, but he shall be the supervisor of the sheriff and the district attorneys, and that it's his duty to enter into any kind of... Oh, I'm not going to tell you what Mark Kent just did when he walked by the window. But anyway, so, you know, as you look at all this and you're kind of scratching your head going, okay, so now the sheriff won't issue the 26-150B2. So now you can't open carry. And let's say, in fact, I have my good friend Mark Barrett on the phone. I want him to give you the scenario about a raincoat, because I thought that was pretty good if you conceal carry under your raincoat. So where is this Second Amendment right? Where is this right, this God-given right, that we have in the state of California that can do with no teeth? And how can you have a constitutional sheriff when really there is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as a constitutional sheriff, Mark?
No, there isn't. And 26150B2 is illustrative of that. It has never been issued by any sheriff ever since the inception of the permit. And to answer your question, there is no Second Amendment in California because it's been banned legislatively through Penal Code 25850, 26400, and 26350. It is against the law in California to openly carry either a loaded or unloaded handgun or long gun. And concealed carry is not a right, it's a permission as dictated by the Ninth Circuit Court, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the case, so that is the law here. Now, let's imagine just for 1 second that the Constitution was the highest law in the land, as it says in Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, then we would all just be carrying. But we have no Constitution in California. The federal Constitution is completely ignored. The cops ignore it, the courts ignore it, the governor ignores it, the criminals in Sacramento called the legislature ignore it. At the same time, they commit felonies themselves by harboring and shielding certain types of aliens, because they changed that law now. It doesn't say illegal aliens, it says certain types of aliens. And what are those certain types of aliens? Ones that sneak across the border illegally.
Wow.
Uninvited.
You have no liberty. You have no liberty here. It's gone. You lost it through not paying attention and not trying to stop it when it happens slowly, like a frog in boiling water, whatever you want to call it. And what we're trying to do with our lawsuit against the state is regain a measure of it so that we can show people that it can be done and then regain the rest. And this is real. I mean, we're doing something real with this case. Now, some people say, well, why don't we just fight? And the answer is because no one would show up. So we have to do this in court because there aren't enough people that would actually fight, and it would come to nothing. So we have to do this in court, and that's what we're trying to do. And we've been at this through the CFR lawsuit and the Second Amendment lawsuit year after year after year after year, and hundreds of thousands of dollars that people contribute. And we're trying to demonstrate to the vast majority of people that you have no liberty whatsoever. It is gone. You are a slave to the state, to the monoparty, to the communist party, basically. And unless you stand, you'll never have any liberty, and neither will your children, and neither will the children that they have. And I think someone said that because people were lazy and they didn't do this and they didn't do that. Well, it's been going on for a long, long time. And now we wake up one morning and all of a sudden people realize that there is no liberty in California and we're in the fight.
Well,
so
I think,
fight with us.
You know, the thing that's so crazy about this is, I mean, if with all these restrictions, we basically we're allowed to carry our personal property, which is our personal legal property, our weapon, we're allowed to do that by the sheriff. He allows us to do it, which makes it a privilege. There is no right in the state of California, yet we are going to have sanctuary county resolutions, and resolutions don't have any teeth. I mean, what's the consequence of not following a resolution? It's kind of like, well, what is that? I mean, you call them liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, you know, because they're not following the resolution. And so when you have these kinds of things happening, I mean, there's a lot of wasted time on this stuff, I think, because when we do it, there's no teeth to it. I mean, you even have to have a background check for an out loud. You made a good point the other day about when we were talking about, you know, let's say that you have your CCW and you've got your permission and you've got your gun under your coat or under your raincoat. I want you to kind of go into that scenario because that just shows the lunacy of this. Go ahead, buddy.
Well, you, according to the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, you have the right to property, and you have the right to be secure in your property. And also through court cases that stem from the Fourth Amendment, you have the right to the usury and possessory interest in your property. In other words, if you acquire property legally and you use it for lawful purposes, you have the right to use that property and have that property. And the government has no right to tell you that you can't have it and you can't use it. So let's say you're a woman and you have your gun in a holster and you carry that around in your business, which is lawful to do openly on your own property or in your business. And then you go outside and it's cold, so you put a coat on. Have you concealed your gun or are you just keeping warm? Or let's say it's raining, you know, you have your holster on and you walk outside and you go, it's raining. You put on a raincoat. Have you hidden your gun or are you just trying to keep yourself dry? let's say you're a small woman and you have your gun and you openly carry that typically, but now you're going someplace that requires a different kind of attire. And there is no place for a belt and there's no place for a holster, so you put your gun in your purse because you still want to be able to defend yourself and those around you in the case of conflict with another person. Have you hidden your gun or are you just carrying it in a manner that's consistent with the type of clothing you're wearing? You know, and these are all questions that we're asking in the lawsuit. And the judges in this nation are thoroughly, utterly, and absolutely corrupt. Thoroughly, utterly, and absolutely corrupt, especially in California and the Eastern District of Federal Court for the Ninth Circuit, and in the Ninth Circuit in general, typically. And so we're fighting this fight. Now, even the judge says we have a high likelihood of success on the Second Amendment merits of this claim. In other words, there is a case back east a long time ago that said you can't turn a right into a permission. Well, that's exactly what California's done. It turned a right into a permission, which some sheriffs sell to the highest bidder in their campaign contribution war chest. Some sheriffs don't give them out at all. Some sheriffs give them out only if you can prove your life is in imminent danger, and some sheriffs give them out to anybody that can fill out the form and pass the background check. But that's not a right. That is consistent with a permission that is given, not given, taken away, granted for a while and then rescinded, or a new sheriff gets elected and he doesn't like it, so he doesn't give you the renewal. And, you know, we live in a kingdom of California. We live in the monarchy. And the king tells the serfs and the servants what they may and may not do on any given day, and those rules will change any time the rulemakers say they change. That is not constitutional republic. We are in a fight for our lives, ladies and gentlemen, and unless the bulk of you wake up and help us fight, the fight is already lost.
You know, I think that's such a great point. And another thing, too, is that, you know, I know that you and Chris Ann have both spoken about, and I believe it's Governor the government code, and I think it's 11120, that the people of the state do not yield their sovereignty to agencies which serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for the people to know.
And actually the opening paragraph of the Administrative Procedures Act. The people
exactly.
of California do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies that are supposed to serve them.
Right.
Well, what have we done? We've yielded our sovereignty yes, sir. Over all things. You can't send your kids to school without a mask. You have to have mm-hmm. this jab in the arm or that jab in the arm. You can't go to this restaurant or that restaurant. A business owner has to close and lose his business because the king of California said the Wuhan virus may strike, and you better be, it's better that you're broke and destitute and your family starving to death or moving into a box under a freeway overpass than conducting the business you have the right to conduct that you built with the sweat off your back. What the heck is going on here? And why are the people of California allowing that?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you can say, I know that I had a good talk with our good friend Dave Bryant, Pastor Dave Bryant, about this. And, you know, there's people that are talking about they have a sanctuary constitutional county in Idaho. Okay, well, you can open carry in Idaho. They have one in Texas. But because of the restrictions and all the amendments in the state of California's constitution, basically, even, you know, when Finch, Sheriff Finch in Indiana, when, you know, he refused to prosecute that guy who was arrested for possessing a firearm, that case was actually won in Butler versus Wolf. And the sheriff has a duty to enforce the constitution. That's it in a nutshell. And you know, we don't even have that hearing in the state because of what's happened, because of all the changes in the Constitution. And I think you made a good point, Mark, and I want you to elaborate on this a little bit. Just a great point, and that was that we expect these sheriffs to stand up on their own. But really, it's got to be the people backing them. When Sheriff Mack stood up, it's nice to stand up when you got 100 armed guys with you, you know. But if you don't have anybody with you, like you said, I mean, how does a sheriff stand up? I'd like you to elaborate on that. That was a great point.
Well, look, you can't look at a single elected official and say, oh, here's the water bucket, carry it for all of us. That's just not going to work. In other words, if an elected official doesn't have the support of the people who elected them, the open support, the showing up, the standing up, the buck in the system, the saying no to the monarchy, then how on earth is he expected to do that by himself? First of all, yeah, sheriff's elected, but guess who gives him his money? The Board of Supervisors. So if the sheriff bucks the system without the support of all the people who elected him, then they'll just take his money away. They did that to Gil Gilbertson in Josephine County. Mm-hmm. They did it to the sheriff in Trinity County, where the left-leaning Board of Supervisors just took his money away. So now he has no deputies. He has no ability to enforce law. He has no ability to do anything, not even put gas in the patrol cars. And all of a sudden, the sheriff's gone. The constitutional sheriff is gone, such as it is. And you're back to square one or even worse. So if you don't stand, if you don't stand with the people you elect and put your money and your livelihood on the line with them, how do you expect them to do that for you?
Well, I know for our sheriff, for Sheriff McGreeny, the BLM came in here and they did a protest in front of his office. This was, I don't know, about 6 months ago. And they did a protest saying that Sheriff McGreeny should be investigated because, according to them, there were more deaths in the jail in Shasta County than there are in any other jail in the state of California in any other county. And there was 100 of us that stood on the other side of the street. Now, the sheriff never showed up. His wife drove back and forth on the street. And then he gave us kudos for that down the road. But, I mean, the real deal is that, you know, they did stand with him. And now there's all kinds of controversy surrounding our sheriff, which I won't get into. I'm not sure we'll know in the next hour whether that was rumor or not. But there's a lot of controversy surrounding him. And these guys, we did in this case back this guy. And, you know, he's still, you know, I mean, he won't budge on the 26-150B2. It's, you know, and you had a solution for that. You had a great solution in the fact that with the 2160B2, if you have somebody who has concealed carry and they've jumped through all the hoops we've talked about, they've done all the things right, what's the difference where they carry the weapon? So what say you, Mark?
Well, there is no difference. Is the answer in 26150B2, the rules are exactly the same as they are for a concealed carry permit. The form just says open carry instead of concealed carry. If there was a form, there isn't a form. So, you know, to me, all these sheriffs, they default to the position, well, my officers would be afraid. Well, I used to be an officer, and I wasn't afraid when I saw a gun. And it is the job of the police to determine who the bad guys are and who the good guys are. And even in that, this is just a crack in the armor, because you don't need permission. You shouldn't have to ask permission to carry the weapon, no matter where you are, no matter how you want to carry it. What we're trying to do is we're trying to show people that liberty is available, but please help us. By God, help us. I mean, the 15 or 20 people that are doing all the work are tired, and we have no money, and we need people's support in order to carry these things through. We're trying to refile our case in the Southern District because judges in the Eastern District hate the Second Amendment, and they hate liberty. And we're never going to get it there, so we're trying to refile in the Southern District, where we might have a hope of getting a preliminary injunction against the state of California and moving on to higher courts, because the Ninth Circuit will overturn it, and then we'll win in the Ninth Circuit, and then we'll have an in-bank, and then they'll overturn it, and then we'll try to get to the Supreme Court. But at least with a preliminary injunction, we can jump the line and try to keep on going more quickly. But we can't do this by ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't do it. I mean, you know, it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to prosecute these cases. And it takes so much time and effort and study and reading and knowing the rules better than they know the rules, and knowing the Constitution and knowing the penal code you can't imagine how much effort that is. It's more than just showing up at the Board of Supervisors and screaming for 5 minutes and then going home and having lunch. There's a lot more to it than that. And unless we're willing to fight these fights, or fight them for real, stand our ground on the lawn with our guns, then we are going to lose. And I don't want to lose. I want to win. I want liberty for my children and my grandchildren. I want liberty for you and your family. I want liberty for myself and my family. And I have seen this system of government fail all over the world, and tens of thousands, if not millions of people, suffer and die under the economic and anti-liberty policies of socialism and communism. This is not going to be a good outcome. You will hate the nation you wake up in. If you don't hate it already, something's wrong with you. I mean, illegal immigration's up almost 500% ever since Creepy Joe and his liar vice president took office. So wake up, people, because we're where Winston Churchill said we would be. He said that if you won't fight when it's easy and victory is assured without bloodshed, you may come to a moment where you'll have to fight when victory is perilous and the outcome is unsure. Or even worse, you may come to the moment where there is no victory and you will simply be fighting to determine whether you die a free man or die a slave.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, with that, we have about a minute left, my friend. If you want, call back into Sovereign Minds, because I believe we're going to continue this discussion about, quote, quote, a constitutional sheriff. Not saying that's a bad thing. Of course it's not a bad thing. And how do you become
It's not a bad thing, but there is no such thing.
And I think that that needs to be elaborated on, especially in the state of California, because why would you need a constitutional sheriff in Texas if they're already following the Constitution?
And, too, we also have to follow the Constitution in that we, the people, get to elect our sheriff. We get to vote for who becomes the sheriff, not for them to just pass the baton to the next guy. We need to follow the Constitution and vote.
So with that, Mark, feel free to call back in, my good friend. Thanks for all that good stuff. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Courtney. And time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Hey, CJ, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.